Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Welcome to Vanderpump Villa, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa is a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, out now on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Roosevelt, a glamorous estate in the French countryside. Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and wild misadventures. As they try to provide a once-in-a-lifetime experience for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards, and not everyone has what it takes. So watch Vanderpump Villa, out now on Hulu.
You'd be okay with her having kids in Brazil?
I wouldn't like that, but would I rather us start having kids?
But you'd be okay with the fact of her staying in Brazil and having babies there?
Well, so say the worst case scenario happens. We're not going to quit being family. So what, do we wait 5 years to have kids?
I'm a little bit shocked by Garrick's response. We have so much going on. Like, if Roberta misses her visa cutoff, based on what our immigration lawyer told us, he's like minimum 5 years before.
Another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Kara Berry, Seeking Sister Wife Edition. Oh, you guys, you know how much I love the show, and I'm blessed to have yet another person talk to me about all of this mess and with me. Joined with me today is one of the hosts of the Reality Gaze podcast, Jake Anthony. Hi, Jake.
Hi, Kara. This is Poodle, aka Jake from Reality Gaze.
So happy to have you.
I'm going to tell
you something that I hope you're not offended by, okay?
Not at all.
We're two peas in a pod. I feel like when I was hesitant, or not hesitant, but I was nervous to have you on the podcast because I feel like I'm the person who comes on people's podcasts and I'm like, I'm so sorry, I'm going to have to apologize already. I'm going to like take you down into like a mess. And I feel like us together is really going to be a fun combination for the listeners here. I'm excited.
Because we're both disgusting, horrible people.
yeah, basically.
Love it. Like, me, you know what? I love going to the dark side. This Seeking Sister Wives is the dark side. People don't realize. I often say on the show, we don't cover it because Maddie isn't into polygamy. I don't know why. The show is my drug. I can't stop watching it. I have no idea why I'm so obsessed with it and why I have to watch every episode. And the glee that I have when the show approaches. I have some ideas, and I can talk about why I think, especially queer people are interested in the show. I think it's kind of, to me, it is a complete validation of the farce of heterosexuality.
Absolutely fair. And that is an absolutely fair point.
It makes fun of it and puts it on display. And how these, I hate this term, but it really is used accurately here, how these beta males somehow find these women to join their weird cults.
Yeah.
And they're the worst. They're the worst of men.
They're the absolute worst. Let's just get into it now.
Yeah.
So we're going to start with the group that I call Slick Nick and Wilson Phillips.
There really was not much. Like you want to say,
join our cult.
They really, we didn't see much of them this episode at all. Literally, they just like went down by the river.
Very disappointed.
Yeah, decided that they were going to make things official with Danielle. What are your thoughts on this family, if you want to call it?
Well, this is really the only one. This is the closest thing to a cult of all of the five on this season. Mostly because Nick keeps an amulet around his neck that I assume is part of their souls.
It has to be. There's no other
And Jen is definitely a former Manson girl. They just didn't find her. she's always like, yeah, Nick, tell us about all the things we can do when we go into the rich pigs' houses.
You're exactly right. I call Tasha squeaky for that exact same reason.
Oh, yes. Yes, she is. The glee that Tasha would have, like, driving a knife into someone's chest.
Yeah. No,
I think Tasha is secretly the craziest person on the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Like, I'm just waiting for her to go batshit. And you can tell the way she responds to her mom, which we're going to talk about later, is just textbook cult member.
It's incredible. So I would like to know, what are your feelings on Jennifer, the second and what I think might be the preferred favored wife? What are your thoughts on her?
It's interesting. I said she was a Manson girl for sure. Mm-hmm. I have a theory. I mentioned it. We did a Bicurious episode on our podcast about how these, I think they mentioned how they got to know each other. I prefer my explanation that they both worked in accounts payable and no one could stand either one of them. And so they ate lunch together every day.
Wow.
And they started dressing alike.
Yep. They do have that energy. Wow. Yeah. I'm so grateful to have you here already. We're having fun.
Carol one and Carol two, I call them, just because they are so uninteresting to most people. Mm-hmm. And they chose Nick, Slick Nick. Yeah. I like that. I like that with the amulet. But Jen is interesting because I think she's kind of like an empty well. Mm-hmm. That you just put whatever into it.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, abiogenesis. That's amazing.
God, to be 24 again and to be that stupid. What a time.
I forget she's 24.
Yeah.
And don't forget Danielle, who's 22. I will say, I kind of understand why she could be 22 now. The first time we saw her, I was like, this bitch ain't 22. That is something.
Yeah,
but I also call her the nodder because she nods her head like she's having a Caesar every time.
She really, like, it's very fun and entertaining to watch her process every single thought because you can see it so clearly happening in her brain, and it's
it almost tracks across her eyes.
The eyes flicker just a little bit. What are your predictions? Do you think Danielle is going to agree to moving in so quickly?
Oh, you know, I think Danielle could be the wild card of this season.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that her radar is already up. We don't know a lot about her either. She's dropped some breadcrumbs like, yeah, all my family lives afar, like 900 miles away, and I don't have a lot of friends here. Yeah. And I'm 22 years old, and why are you in Aurora, Colorado? Right. Something happened on the way to heaven.
Right, you're not in school.
Yeah.
So what's going on here?
It's what do you do? Yeah, what is your story? I have a feeling your book is quite interesting.
Right. They took a lot to get to those bangs, you know? Things happen.
We took a wrong turn somewhere to end up with that hair.
and it's time we discuss it, really. Let's move on, because there really, not much there to... who I call Mr. Peanut, which is Michael, the Epps family with Taryn, India.
These poor women. Someone just needs to rescue them.
Honestly, they're really cute, and it's not adding up to me.
I have a theory. This is super tinfoil hat. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I try not to get involved in the gossip, because there's so much gossip that I never know what's coming out. I don't, we a lot of times don't kind of announce gossip until it's put on by a regular established news source like Starcasm.
Sure.
But the gossip has been, Mr. Epps has been involved in some criminal activity, and quite certain. I know it's a shock for most people to hear that when you see him and, see how he behaves, but, I think Taryn is involved, and I think India may also be involved. I think they may know where the bodies are buried a little bit.
Sure.
That's the only explanation I can come up with, because especially India, Taryn's a doormat. India is the most interesting person on the season to me. And it's because you can see her, like Danielle, thinking and making decisions in real time. Mm-hmm. And also not being okay with a lot of what's going on.
Right.
And you're just kind of waiting for her to say it.
Yes.
And I know this guy's dick isn't that good. I just want to preface that.
Can't possibly be. No.
No.
No. There's no way.
So I'm wondering, does he have a monkey's paw he wishes on to get these women? Because...
I forgot to mention the big news last week, which is that Crystalline of last was seen with the Epps family over the past week doing all sorts of birthday events and outdoor events. I don't really go outdoors, but what do you call that? Like field day, that sort of thing. It seemed like she is really kicking it with the family. Crystalline, if you guys don't remember, was the gorgeous blonde, bald South African lady that came to join the Snowden family. They officially got legally married. And the reason why the Snowdens are no longer on the show is because Crystalline filed some charges of domestic violence against Dimitri. Yes. Like wild stuff.
And I believe against Ashley somehow.
Yes.
I think there were also almost like imprisonment charges. Yes. Or something like that. Like, it was really ugly. So, y'all, this is what it takes to get you off of a TLC show. You can't, like Big Ed, you can't just tell someone they're a piece of shit on a recording to Liz or Angela. You can't verbally abuse someone until they're nothing. This is what it takes.
Yeah, you got to land on TMZ before they consider kicking you off the network.
It's awful.
Yeah, so that is truly shocking. I am hoping if he got her, like, I really don't know what I'm going to do with myself.
I'm pretty sure it's clout chasing, but...
I'm sure.
I heard about that too, and I looked at her Instagram, and she's trying her best to build up her socials. So...
For sure.
But what I'd like to tell her is, these are the ones you chose?
Right. There are a list. I would have maybe rather gone with Oh, God. Like, if you had to be in one of these families, which one would you choose?
The Wenders from last season.
Yeah.
I miss the guy who talked like them. I miss him.
They were so wholesome.
All he wanted is some sort of, like, corn-based dinner. That's really all he asked for. And I could do that easily.
And they were lovely.
Yeah.
They were absolutely lovely. If you want to go live off the grid and convert corn into fuel or whatever you want to do, go live with the Wenders.
Exactly. Yeah. That was a smart choice. I don't know who I would have gone with, but I think I might have to join the Wenders as well.
Let me ask you a question, Kara, before we go on. Of the five, let's say there is a horrible, I don't know, let's just throw something out that can never happen, like a worldwide plague. Could never happen.
What's that?
Exactly. And everyone was dead except for you and these five men. Uh-huh. What is the order in which you would have to repopulate the world with? Who would you start? Because you got to fuck them all. And who do you start with?
Oh, gosh. Who do I start with? Like, okay, if I'm starting, I'm just thinking who I want to get it over with the most. And that would be, like, Mr. Peanut for sure. And I think he would deliver on that. He seems quick, you know?
Yeah, that's true. He would be quick to finish. And yeah, totally.
Yeah. Sidian and Garrick, I think, give soft dick.
They do.
Just like soft and kind of like putty. I don't really know how else to describe it.
We call this pushing rope. Pushing lots of pushing rope.
Yes, exactly.
Like you're just trying to feed it in there, like get it through like the eye of a needle.
Yes, yeah.
Exactly. Very much pushing rope. You could take both of them at the same time.
Easily.
It'd be fine. Yeah.
Easily. Yeah. Ooh, I think my top pick might be, who's the shitty dad who's always pink with Brenda? What's his name?
Oh, Steve.
Steve.
Yeah.
Steve might be number one for me.
He'd rage fuck you for sure.
Yeah, it would be a nice little reprieve from the soft dick that I got from the other two.
Yeah, he'd definitely rage fuck you. I think Nick would also need a mirror to have sex with you, and hopefully there would be no mirrors in the. I have a feeling he's pretty well endowed, but he's talking about himself too much as he dicks you down, and and that amulet just glows and it's very distracting during sex.
Knocking you in the forehead, yeah, it's a whole thing. I mean, Nick does really talk a big game about how just tired these other women's vaginas are of him. So that's really something to consider.
I really, they're the ones who I could see having their own spinoff, but you need Danielle. She's the clueless girl from Grover's Corners that kind of makes it work. Mm-hmm. Because the other two are just like those eels that Ursula has, you know. They're just gonna swim around Nick.
You're exactly right. Oh my god. Okay, so
that was fun. I'm sorry, I had to interrupt you to make you choose that horrible option.
I appreciate it. It was fun. So Mr. Peanut is kind of licking his paws a little bit. He's in bed with Taryn. He's completely flopped out with Janae so far.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been able to successfully manipulate her into joining a family with two other women that she didn't know about.
Because, you know, that girl who I was with, and I met another girl after you, and we're kind of married. I screeched.
I would die. I would die.
And this woman is also gorgeous. Janae is this beautiful, like, strong. This is the thing. I don't think there's no way Janae is going to join this little cult because she is way, way, way too secure in herself. The other two aren't. Yeah.
Yeah, I think at most she's just like down for the mess, but she's not really entertaining this in a real way.
No, definitely not. Definitely
Which
not.
Which is what I would be doing, honestly. Give me a free chance, and let's just gossip. So India comes in to join them in the bedroom. She's like wanting to know how the night went, and Peanut's going on about how like that was the craziest night of his life and how he was trying to wait till the end of the dinner and she was full of salmon before he dropped this bomb on her.
It's so gross. When she was full of salmon, I knew I was going to go in for the kill.
That's when people are most vulnerable.
When they're full of fish. Yes. Like a polar bear.
Exactly. But he made the mistake of asking her what her relationship situation was like and then didn't consider that she might ask him what his relationship situation might be like.
So, because he is an idiot.
He's a complete idiot. The glaring omission of that very obvious question. So he basically is like, I think I'm going to move into phase two of my manipulation by just buying her another plane ticket to come down to Florida. If she takes it, great. If not, pause. I have a theory that he's just got like a permanent Southwest round trip ticket.
Totally.
In like the credits that he can just give to anybody. You know, it doesn't matter. Like he's acting like this is a flex, but he's had this credit because some other chick was like, I'm not coming.
And yeah.
So he's like, I've got $178 in credit. I've
got on year. Spirit Air.
Yeah. It's nothing for me. That's no problem.
I've got I had bad service on a Frontier right. flight, and they gave me this.
Right. You want a free drink coupon? I got you, girl.
$75 to get you here. But you may have to sit in someone's lap.
Yep. You're going to have to put in money for your carry-on because they don't provide that for free. But other than that, I got you.
You're going to have the flight attendants will threaten to take your purse, just so you know.
So his plan is to just like get her to come and then talk her into meeting Taryn in India. And then they're going to sink their claws into her and everything is going to be okay. He's really wild. He's really, really wild.
You know, the thing about it is, Kara, I don't know why people don't say this enough, but, you know, being in a family like this is just like having sisters. It's just like you grew up with two sisters. So it's kind of the same, except for this is a marriage and we all fuck the same guy. So exactly. I'm sure you did that in your house when you grew up.
As a girl with sisters, I can say that that is absolutely normal behavior. And Janae should listen to that.
I know. It's just makes sense, really. God, this is the guy who is completely and utter actually deluded about his own worth and stamina. This is someone who, I don't know, I wish for everyone, for our listeners, I wish for all of our listeners half the competence of a mediocre straight white man.
Yeah.
But for this, I wish you guys half the competence of Mr. Epps. You could rule the world.
This is inclusive, honestly, that a black man can be so completely average and fail upwards. This is progress.
This is progress. You're right.
This is what we fought for. So yeah, he is kind of a lot like Jax Taylor in that, like, yeah, he's totally failed upward, and he thinks that this is something that he's done on his own merit, but it's just complete luck, dumb luck.
And also somehow. I must have been a monkey's paw. Somehow getting these women to support him and leaning on them, because you're right. And somehow convincing people to get him to a city office is weird. He talks such a big game.
He's truly unbelievable. We get more insight into how Taryn and India decided to join into this polygamous relationship, how they were able to be manipulated into this situation, really. And so Taryn says that, honestly, she really wasn't, like, shocked when he told her that he wanted to be polygamous. That honestly, she kind of knew him for a while, and this was like expected. These women are so beaten down by him.
I know. And it's like, and I think it kind of breaks my brain, because if he was a little bit more, if he had more charisma, more outward charisma, I could kind of see it. But he's nothing. Yeah.
There's not been a moment where this has made sense to me.
I'm telling you, monkey's paw is the only solution for this. Yeah. Magic. You got to bring magic into this, because it's the only way these three people connect.
Right. Because we've now seen him in situations where he's actively trying to get a woman, and where he now has women and he's trying to keep them. And both of them, it's not making sense to me how he's able to achieve those. And yeah, I'm confused.
And you can tell Bina does not really want to be with him.
Yeah.
Like, she's a lost cause.
And oh, yeah. She's the most broken of all of them.
Oh, totally. And even Bina, who needs years and years of therapy, knows that this is a bad option. And Janae's not going to have it either.
I agree. Okay, so India says that the way that she got into the polygamy thing is that he just brought it up in conversation. Like, okay. And what she called a normal conversation.
Nice weather we're having.
Right.
Want to join my menagerie?
So basically he's like, you know, Janae, when I talked to her, she just kept shutting me down. And we really never got to the point where we were talking about the logistics of how it would work for her to join the family. Probably because she turned you down. I think the first part is why you didn't get to the second part.
Yeah. The idea that it's way early to talk about logistics. It is way early for you to be meeting these women, because you don't even, you seem like they know each other, but there's no real rapport. She just wants to fuck you for some unknown reason.
Right.
Again, that monkey's paw must have a lot more wishes than a normal one does. Because I got to tell you, you are skating on the thin ice of how that monkey's paw is going to work.
Yeah, I mean, first wish was for unlimited wishes.
Of course, that must have been it.
It's the only way it makes sense. But, so,
the monkey's paw, people's like, fuck, we messed that up. Couldn't say that.
Right. Damn it. We did it again.
God.
So, yeah, basically he's like, okay, I'm going to have to get her down. So we find out that she didn't come on the plane ticket that he bought. She just happened to be in Florida on a business trip.
I'm not sure if she was
being on the show, but okay. So they have lunch, and he's like, you know, she sits down and she's like, what's the deal? Like, I'm not really happy with you. What's going on? She says she's calmed down a little bit since the first time they hung out, but
and then she's like, I don't know what you have on me. There's just something about you. I was like, yeah, it's that monkey's ball twitching in his pocket.
When you find out, Janae, let us know, please.
There is nothing remarkable about him. I will tell you that now. God.
Not a thing. But she's like, I do feel like there's enough there to keep talking to him, but I'm just not sure about this whole situation. So Mr. Peanut's like, okay, so you're saying there's a chance. He's like, I think it's really important to introduce you to Terrence and India sooner rather than later. You can see if you like them. And Janae's still like, I'm just really not sold on this whole situation right now. But
And then he's like, yeah, I'm going to have India and Taryn really sell polygamy to this woman.
Right.
And I'm like, now we're turning water into wine. Mm-hmm. Now this is absurd. Now you're getting your two wives, or two figurative. I think he calls them his wives now, because he's not even married. He's not married to India yet, but he's I assume he would have to
divorce Taryn to marry India in a Garrick Merrifield sort of way.
Right. Yeah. I'm wondering if we're going to find out that they actually did get a legal divorce, or they were like in an Ashley and Dimitri spiritual marriage and they never really.
Oh, like, yeah. That is, I'm sure it's something like that. I'm always fascinated. The other thing about this show is there's a certain, you could kind of put Nick and, as you said, Wilson Phillips, which I love, you could put them. Now I'm trying to think about how they would introduce themselves. but you could put almost them in the spiritual religion thing, because it is kind of a higher, he's like, quote unquote, the thinker and reads mm-hmm. important books. But yeah. The Epps, you're like, what does hold them together? It's not spiritual. The Merrifields, obviously. The Winders were looking for something religious. The Foleys, Steve just wants to fuck as many women as possible. He is a textbook swinger.
1,000%.
He looks like one. And Brenda just needs Wellbutrin.
I want Brenda to do so much better than what she's doing. And yet, she like wants to be like that. She's like a true Debbie Downer.
She really is Eeyore. The rain cloud just follows her everywhere. And I just want to say, when she wants April, this 20-something-year-old woman, to be her friend.
Yes.
And I love it how, actually, Steve's daughter is my favorite person in the whole series.
In the whole world. She's incredible.
I kind of am thinking about going as her for Halloween. Complete with hoodie, like, dog collar, like, just was on my phone the whole time. And just, like, saying, what, Dad? And...
I love that she
is my soul. Every time I think about how my brother's 18 months younger than I was, but I was such a sulky teen, and my brother mm-hmm. was always the positive one and talking mm-hmm. about things, and at the table they're like, my brother's like, oh, I like this, and she's like,
yeah.
I felt so seen at that table.
Really incredible. Yeah,
I love her.
This is a Jaden Stan account for sure. She's like really incredible work. Oh my gosh. So we're back with Janae and Mr. Pina. He tries to sell like, hey, you have sisters, right? Like,
that's the sister comment. Ugh.
She's like, where are you going with this? Honestly. He's like, well, it's kind of like having a sister relationship. Provided you guys are all fucking the same man. And Janae asked him, okay, how are the wives, like, how do they deal with each other? How does that all work? What's the logistics? And he's like, you know, it's like this time where they support each other. If one of them wants, why did he bring this up in, as an example? If like one will encourage the other sister, hey, go sleep with him tonight because she's had a bad day. So these were like the times where he is like, they really come together to decide which one of them is going to fuck me. So
that's India didn't get her double coupon accepted at Ralph's. And she's very, very dejected right now.
Right.
So we're gonna let India have you tonight, even though it was my night. That's some big love reminiscent right. shit. Yeah.
Right. Oh my God, help me.
You say peanut is perfect for him because he's a peanut brain. It does not compute that these women should be with him. It's one of the reasons why this show is a slow motion car wreck, because your brain is constantly thinking the whole time, why is this happening? Why is this situation real? These people can't be real. And yeah.
Oh my God. So Janae tries to talk a big game and she's like, you know, I'm not agreeing to this, but hypothetically, let's set this whole meeting up.
Hypothetical
works, but we'll work through that, Janae. We'll figure it out. Right. So she says in a confessional, she's really not sold on the whole relationship, but she is willing to have a conversation, mostly because she's just interested and wants to know what the tea is with this whole situation. And then she's like, you know, it's always something with him. There's always a secret hidden agenda with Marcus, which is not a compliment. And
no. Absolutely not.
Yeah, this man has like a full pack of honey roasted nuts in his back. He's ready. He's raring to go.
But no condoms. Never condoms. Doesn't know what that is.
Absolutely not. He's got a handful of rose petals to make a heart shape at any given moment, but not a thing to be found.
And just like an awful, an always ready, like a terrible bottle of rosé, like in his car.
Moscato. Sparkling Moscato and, salmon in the cooler.
Because he's a cook. He's a great chef, we all know.
Of course he is. Let's move on now to who I call Skyliner, but Sidian, Tasha, and now Ariel. They're living.
Ariel, what you doing with this man? I've been sitting on that for a long time.
She's beautiful. And
she's gorgeous.
Yeah, like naturally, just absolutely stunning. And this is not making sense to me. Because she seems just as invested in Sidian as he is with her, which is shocking.
What are you doing with this Magic the Gathering store owner?
Right.
It is really, I think this is an issue, I believe that Ariel is just lost in her life. I also think that Tasha might be the best procurer on the show. She might be the best groomer. And I think Tasha's done all the hard and heavy work. And then Sidian's just going to come in and push rope. Mm-hmm. And they said, we were intimate. I don't know if that means they fucked or it was just like butterfly kisses. I don't know what that
it's
means.
It's really hard to tell. It's really, really hard to tell.
Yeah.
But they're seemingly doing great. He set up a bonfire for them, but I think he just like found some sticks while she was taking a nap.
There's no way he built that fire. Let's set that down now. There is no way in hell. The only time he's built a fire is when he was wearing a wizard's cape in Dungeons and Dragons. There's no way he built that fire.
They had to get someone from production, like run.
Definitely. They had to get a grip to do that. Because he couldn't do it.
Please get out of our shot so we can pretend like he did it.
There's no way Sidian built that fire.
Oh my God. This was a really great moment. We finally see Squeaky getting jealous. So,
it was wonderful too.
Great. Ariel and Guyliner are having this romantic moment out on the beach. And she calls and she's like, well, how are you guys doing? I've just been feeling a little bit lonely. And then she's like, you know, it's probably not fair to say that because you've been waiting for months to meet Sidian, Ariel, and but, you know, here I am by myself in Portland or wherever the hell they are.
I think they're in Portland, I believe, outside of Portland, because there's no way they can afford Portland.
Not a chance.
No. They're outside Portland. But no, she's saying things like, I know I shouldn't be lonely, but I am. So can you guys tell me what you did? Can you tell me how you boned? Was he on top? Were you on top?
Yeah.
Did he go in?
A true cuckoldress.
She is a cuckoldress. That's exactly what she is.
Big time, big time. So she is like, well, first of all, I feel like this is really the first time she's been tested because they've been dumped way before it got to this
point. Oh, yeah. No one wants to fuck Sidian.
Not a chance. No. So first she's like, have you guys bonded yet? And they're like, yeah, we're having so much fun. We're getting along. You know, this has totally exceeded our expectations. She's like,
no. I mean, so,
yeah. Do you know what a rope is, Ariel? Has he pushed it?
Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. Did you make the beast with two backs?
Really? now it's like totally awkward, and Ariel's like, I'm gonna let you handle that. Like, I don't really feel like addressing this.
Yeah, and it's not her job either. It's like Sidian's weird, very affirmative, like very much, I hear you, I validate your feelings mm-hmm. way, which pisses me the fuck off.
It gives me the ick. So
I just want, the thing about it, you guys, you can have a relationship with someone who's going to like hear all your feelings, but every time it's like the kissing thing when he was with Ariel. He's like, can I kiss you right now? Ugh. And then, so he got consent to do that. He's like, maybe I'll wait till later. And you're like, I don't want to kiss you now. And he's like, oh, it's sunset. Maybe it's time to get that kiss. Wait. Then just do it.
Thank you. That's exactly what I said. Like, you already asked. We've already set up this moment. Just fucking do it. Like, I got it.
He is the ultimate, let's talk about everything before we do it. And then right. when we actually do it, it feels ridiculous. Or it mm-hmm. feels just like underwhelming.
Yep.
In every way, y'all, Sidian is underwhelming. Don't get me wrong.
like a half-inflated balloon.
Yes, just, yes, yeah. That is exactly what he is. Down to his bracelets.
Oh, those bracelets are so triggering to me. There's like nothing worse, nothing more of a red flag than like a straight white guy with beaded bracelets. Like, especially if you like got them in Thailand or something, and like, oh, I went to Bali once and I got these at the airport on the way back. So
they're never gonna start talking about them and how they believe that equality is man's greatest. We need to seek for it.
1,000%. They definitely have those like prayer flags somewhere in their I love it. So he's like, yes, we have been intimate. Is there anything else you want to know? And she's like, well, no, I just wanted to know if you guys were at that comfort level or not, because, you know, I just feel a little bad, and, you know, maybe I should have spoken with Ariel about it a little bit more and let her know that I was comfortable with it. Like, girl, that is not why you feel bad.
No. You feel bad because someone is getting your mystery from the pickup artist dick. That's why you feel bad.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. This poor girl.
It completely gives me the creeps, the fact we have to talk about it, and everyone's has to talk so much about their feelings that there will be there's no sexual spark anymore between any of these people.
That's what happens
when you talk about your feelings too much.
that's what I was saying. The first day that he and Ariel spent together, all they kept talking about was like whether or not this was going well. And it's like, how do you know? You can't talk to each other.
It's that narration too. Like, yeah. I feel like we're doing this. I feel like we're really doing this. No, just do it. Just like fuck her and stop talking about it. God.
Talking. And these are from people who get paid to speak to people, okay? Just shut the fuck up.
Exactly. And for me, like, it's like I talk about on the show. Anyone who listens to our show knows that we're very sex positive. We talk about sex all the time. But like, when a guy won't shut up about dirty talk, I'm going to do this. I'm going to blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, you're doing it as you're narrating this story as you're going. Here, I'm going to put my hand over your mouth because it's taking me out of it.
Literally, like, you could be doing this by yourself, jerking off.
Thank you. And I don't need the constant narration.
Ugh, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Thank you. I'm glad we're in the same mind there. Just y'all, listen to this. If the guy you're with next time won't shut the fuck up, just put your hand over their mouth and they'll get the point.
Yes. Are you going to fuck me or not?
Please. Exactly.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, Guyliner says that he's feeling bad, that Sweetie's feeling lonely. In this moment, he wishes that he could be two people at once. And I'm like, okay, so you're admitting that this doesn't work. That's what I'm hearing. This dynamic isn't feasible. Now we said it.
It is just every single moment you're thinking it's all such a ruse too, and no one's aware of it. And anyone who just says this is so much work for just completely mediocre relations.
Yeah.
Although Ariel is absolutely gorgeous. And if they if they do get Ariel over there, Tasha's going to have some real problems.
Huge. Like, yeah. Imagine if they lived, like, in, like, Seattle. Is that where Nike is? Whatever. No, that's Portland. Yeah. Like, just any other major city. Imagine if they lived in Portland proper. She would find somebody. If they, like, left her on the corner for 3 minutes, she would find some tech bro who's...
In a second.
Okay, so you guys better tether yourselves to that girl, because...
lock her down.
Are you kidding? If she went to New York, she would have found some finance guy, and you would never see her again. Never, ever.
Yeah, y'all are tofu scramble, and she's she wants filet mignon.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Or at the very least, she's like an impossible burger or something.
Yes, at least. At least something with some meat on it.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, then Sidian says, like, he's just really hoping that he can solidify this situation with Ariel before he leaves, which is like, yeah, we know. We got it.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping that nothing happens before I leave and no rift can separate us. So then we get to Squeaky having dinner with her mom, Teresa, a queen.
I love her. I said that she was kind of like a Pacific Northwest Pamela Adlon from Better Things.
I was thinking like Aunt Jackie.
She is Aunt Jackie. Yes. Very Laurie Metcalf passing lesbian energy. Yeah.
She's tough. She's brash. Yeah, you're right.
I love her.
She makes no bones about the fact that she fully thinks that her daughter is in a cult, and that's just what it is. And she's like,
and a mediocre cult at that.
Not even a good one. So they sit down and she's like, okay, where's Sidian? And she's like, well, he's in the Philippines. Why? Well, we've been dating somebody for a few months. And she's like, okay, what now?
Yeah, right. Tell me what other scheme you're into. When you were 14, you told me you were on the road to go see Slipknot. Right. And now it's another thing.
Waitress, please order me a Campari. I'm going to be a while.
Give me a double.
Neat. So she's like, well, you know, I met Ariel a few years ago through work. And she's like, so you met a wife in the Philippines. She's like, no, I wasn't really thinking about her being a wife at the time. So Teresa says in a confessional, I knew he was traveling. I just didn't really know why. Honestly, I really don't know a whole lot about Tasha and Sidian's relationship. I'm curious about polygamy, but I also think that there's like more bad than good here. So, I mean, good on her for like, I guess, being a mom and letting her child live, but also like roast the shit out of her. Like,
and she also, she keeps going because she's saying things like, so you brought her into the cult, right? Mom doesn't even miss a beat. It is just chef's kiss watching her just flame her daughter. Because we all know, I think you and I agree on this. Tasha's crazy has really yet to come out, but I know there's a lot there.
There is a night blooming jasmine, and when it opens, the smell, it's going to be putrid.
I agree, and I can't wait. And also, weirdly, she does not have kind of matronly first wife energy. She doesn't have Mary energy.
No.
And like, Big Wife is desperately, we're going to talk about her, I'm sure. Big Wife is desperately trying to hold on to that first wife energy, but it's not really in her either. It's not. Yeah, it's a first wife comes along once in a generation. It's that first wife energy is not easy to find.
I agree. I think you're spot on. And yeah, the fact that we haven't seen Tasha crack is really more evidence that, like, baby, we got a big storm coming.
Yeah, it's total meltdown as soon as Sidian like starts talking about having more kids or something like that with Ariel.
Yeah. As soon as those big ass German shepherds start bonding with Ariel, it's over.
I always think, how do those not destroy their house?
Yeah, I would do the same thing. Like, you would, seems like you would see the fur flying. They seem like a household that does not keep up with the dog maintenance, but
definitely not.
I'm shocked.
Yeah,
there's definitely got to be an odor, though. There's got to be.
Patchouli mixed with wet dog, mixed with kind of mothballs.
Yeah,
I would say. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So Teresa asked her daughter, you know, what is it that made Ariel open up to this whole situation? And she's like, well, you know, we've just known each other for so long. We've talked a bunch, you know, and over time it just became appealing to Ariel to see how comfortable I am.
No, you groomed her. You groomed her. Like, literally groomed her.
You brought her into the cult. So you talked her into this. So she's like, no, it's not a cult. And it's a cult.
If you're having to respond, no, it's not a cult every time to your mama, you might be in a cult.
You might be. So she's like jokingly saying it's a cult of two. She's like, well, it sounds like a cult of three. Okay. So there's that. So Teresa says that she just thinks that her daughter may have gotten into this whole polygamy stuff because she was raised with her uncle, like her mom and the uncle lived in some sort of large family situation.
Yes. This is where I had lots of follow-up questions. I was like, tell me more about this commune that you lived on with your uncle and his wife and maybe other people. And was everyone wearing clothes all the time?
Get the uncle a mic pack immediately. Get in front of the
camera. Yes. I need to know because something went wrong in Tasha's formation.
What happened on Uncle's farm? Please tell us. So Teresa asked Tasha, okay, what's going to happen if everything works out? And she's like, well, then Guyliner and Ariel get legally married because she's going to need the, you know, citizenship and all of that. And she's like, oh, so you're going to be on the back burner then?
Yep.
She's like, no, I just like Ariel had to wait months. And I've had him every day before they can hang out with each other. And I'm like, baby, that means nothing when she lives here. All bets are off.
It's that kind of fake. I'm so thinking about the other person's feelings that just really should terrify you to what happens when you see him not think about your feelings for long enough. You're going to explode and drive an ice pick into his eye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I can see her left
eye. And I hope it's on camera.
Just keep cameras up at all times. Just put a GoPro in the corner of the living room and let's see what happens. So I did think Teresa brought up a good point of like, if you guys are all trying to be in one relationship as one and grow together, how is that going to happen when he's going off to the Philippines and they're spending one-on-one time together and you're not part of that? And no answer. No answer for that.
No. Yeah. She just thought, maybe I should do more of my rose makeup around my eyes that everyone on this show.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Does.
Oh my god, do you think she just like goes into the bathroom or something and just stares at the corner and just like doesn't say anything? Just
has to. I think there's genuinely an issue there. I think it I would love to know more of the circumstances on how she grew up. because something, her mom feels a little distant. And maybe that was something that she mom had to do because Tasha probably was a wild child. Or something. But again, Tasha is the biggest wild card of the show for me because I think there's so much boiling rage. And and I'm just, she's the most batshit crazy, I think, under all of it.
Yeah. Do you think that Tasha has ever been to like a Juggalo Fest?
Possibly. I can see that or something or just like get really into, yeah, I can see Juggalo or something that's like super like aggro rock and like she was the only groupie there with all the guys.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Probably dressed like you probably look like Avril Lavigne. Completely.
Yeah.
For a while.
Oh my gosh. Well, let's finish up with.
Oh, please. Yes.
Large wife. I call Gareth Joel Osteen. You can call him whatever you want because I hate him so much.
I don't have a name for him. I just think Joel Osteen is close. Oh, there's an ambulance going by. Don't pull over. We haven't had that for a while. But Joel Osteen is good, but Joel Osteen's a much better salesperson.
Sure.
But I say that Garrick looks like Rick Astley fucked he was singing carolers a little bit, or like a Hummel figurine or something.
Sure. Oh my god, he's real.
And someone in our Facebook group, I'll never forget, and I can't not hear it. Someone in our Facebook group says, "Him and his fucking Warren Jeffs voice."
Oh,
is that kind of voice that kind of sounds like this?
So creepy.
I can't ever not hear anything else.
It is exactly
this Warren Jeffs voice.
Very accurate. Yeah. It was chillingly accurate.
So. Yeah, it's
this think is, about them in general leading up to this episode. What are your thoughts on that?
I was really excited this season because Danielle, Big Wife, was bringing Leah into this, and you and I thought she was going to burn it all down. I thought she was using Leah as a chaos agent.
Yep, me too.
And then I realized that she couldn't go through with it, and I think it's her fucking religious faith that isn't letting her just go scorched earth, which makes me sad because I think Danielle has it in her somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, she's a mystery to me because her parents seem so ridiculously normal and accepting of what she's doing. And even her brother, who his Amish chin beard, I don't love, but he seems normal. And
yes.
I don't know if she should have that. I often say in a lot of their scenes, like Key and Peele used to do Obama's anger translator, that I want to be Big Wife's anger translator.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean you want to go see Bert? Are you fucking out of your mind? You just want to fucking fuck. You're a piece of shit with a small dick.
Do you know how badly it would like take me to not just like oops him upside the head every time he fucking cries when he hangs up with Bert? He has zero emotion like that for Big Wife, and it really would make me so livid.
No. He needs a slap in the face at the end of everything you say to him. Just a good swack.
He's so weird. He's so creepy. And it almost seems like, I don't know if I noticed this before, probably because he was so deep in Bert's guts that like we couldn't see their relationship, but they have nothing in common.
Zero. Bert is nothing but hair and adult braces. There is nothing there.
But same with Garrick and Danielle.
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I think it was extreme religion that brought them together.
Yeah.
And it's weird because we she's the one person we kind of root for on this show.
Mm-hmm.
But she lets us down over and over and yes. over again. But there's something in her that we see and we're like, she knows, part of her knows
mm-hmm.
she needs to get out of this. Part yeah. of her knows, and part of her, just like she says later on, we're kind of running out of excuses.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so we're, I think this whole thing is going to resolve itself. They're going to ride this train as long as they can. I think they understand that. And I think probably her more than him. But he is definitely what I would call a reproductive abuser. He just yeah. wants to have as many kids as possible and like Quiverful movement, populate the world with as many fucking children who look like him as possible.
It's so fucking creepy because every time I've noticed, like, every time they get into a group situation, like with her parents or with her brother and Sam and Samantha, the only thing he ever says is, I'm going to get Bert pregnant. Like,
yep.
that's literally the only bit of conversation he has to add to the situation. It's weird.
And it's not even just the fucking. It's the fact, it's the kink that she's pregnant. And
yep.
it's as many babies as I can have. There was a Law and Order SVU episode once with John Stamos. And he was a reproductive abuser and getting all of these women pregnant. Mm. And I'm a big Law and Order SVU person. I think I've seen every episode. Shocking. Yeah.
Never seen Law and Order. Never. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Oh that my crazy? God. It is, you know, you can actually, it is one of those shows you can actually avoid. If you don't like procedurals, you won't like it.
But I don't even know if I do or not. I just haven't yeah. seen it. But I feel like I should start.
I feel like you need to just put yourself in front of USA
uh-huh.
for an hour and watch the magic that is Mariska Hargitay.
Okay.
Definitely watch a Stabler episode because okay. the show is what it is now, but the Stabler Benson relationship was the heart of the show. But those I did a podcast called These Are Their Stories with Kevin Riley. Mm-hmm. And it was so much fun. We got to do an episode where Carol Burnett was the guest star.
Icon.
Yeah, it's I would say watch one just to say you've done it.
Yeah, I think I yeah. should. It feels like an incomplete on my part.
I feel like yeah, just to say, oh, I get it now.
Okay, yeah. okay, I'll do that. I'll make it happen. I'll make it happen.
Yay!
So we see Danielle meet up with her brother Sam to catch up with each other. I love Sam, however, he does have the vibe of like, you know, those people you went to high school with that like always had a concussion, and it's like, how did that happen? What's going on?
It is true. He does look like a traumatic brain injury happened or something, yeah. and no one ever gave him occupational therapy.
He's working through it, but there's residual. There's a residual.
You're right. Something, he got hit really hard, mm-hmm. and he's never really been the same. You can tell he follows conversation,
yes.
but he doesn't just have
a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, he's always realizing things a little bit behind uh-huh. and gets jokes a little too late.
And that's why it's good that he has Samantha because she's raring to go. His wife.
Oh, I love her.
She's ready. So we find out shockingly that they're planning on going to Brazil in like a few days, and they're planning on just like catching up with Bert, maybe, I don't know, getting her to commit to coming to America because her visa has cleared. And
okay, this is weird to me. And I don't think this has been brought up before. Well, we all know that Bert has a sixth sense that something may be off.
Mm-hmm.
That's because she's an actual human being. but that it's weird that Garrick doesn't even, well, because he's got cult leader vibes, but he doesn't seem to realize that it's not a problem. Greatest problem.
he's not picking up on this at all. He doesn't seem to have any perspective on the fact that obviously Bert had a big issue with Leah, and it didn't seem like it registered to him at all. Just like, well, he's just floating through life. Right. Hope he can inseminate her at some point. Danielle's feeling real apprehensive at this point. She's like, honestly, it's been so long since we've seen Bert. I'm not looking at this as a fun trip. I'm thinking we're going to have a lot of tough conversations with her to get her like come up with some answers. And then she says, best case scenario for them is that Bert either comes back to America with them, or at the very least, she buys a non-refundable ticket that she's going to actually use. They're like just floating on hopes and dreams at this point. So she tells her brother, she and Joel are kind of worn out a little bit, because every time they bring up to Bert, hey, are you planning on moving to America? She doesn't really give them an answer. Right. Her mom has to go to the doctor for her cough or something, and she needs to go to the post office. She's got friends to do. She's got her hair to wash.
I gotta pick up my shoes at the cobbler, and you know how their hours are.
Very important. it's just been very, very strange. So they've been having doubts, and Danielle kind of goes into 90-day fiance mode. Like, we've been weary about sending her money.
No, I loved this part because, you know, that this is my territory.
Yeah. There really has been no conversation about whether or not they've been helping her. But yeah, I'm like, let's talk numbers here. I want to know how much.
I am certain they've been helping her.
Yeah.
And it is, I guarantee you, Danielle has the receipts, because Garrick knows nothing about anything with finances. She does everything for that family.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you she pretty much almost raised those kids because
by herself. Sure.
I think he does work somehow. I think he does provide for the family. Yeah. I'm not sure how what his job is.
Construction business.
That's right. Yeah. But it's almost like he's done construction enough so he's not actively out there. I think you're not having to think about a lot of finances, I believe. I don't think he works well for that.
Yeah, I agree.
She's the brains.
Clearly.
I know, which makes me a little reticent.
Not exactly a compliment.
No.
Bert's just like, or not Bert, but Danielle's just like, I'm concerned about her level of commitment. I'm concerned about why it is that Bert can't communicate.
I'm loving it. I'm like, keep going, honey. Keep going. It's like the thing in company. Come on, Bobby. Yeah. Just keep talking.
Even though the lawyers are now saying she needs to get a move on, still that doesn't seem to move Garrick at all. Like, there still seems to be no sense of urgency on his end. And
because he can just fuck her and she can get pregnant in Brazil, so it's fine.
Right. Doesn't matter to him. So she tells her brother, Danielle tells her brother, things are really coming to a head. Basically, like, they really need Bert to commit to coming to America. And she's like, listen, I understand. Like, I'm not everybody else. Not everybody's going to do what I want to do. But if I were Bert, I would have booked my plane ticket as soon as my visa had cleared, which... then she's like, you know, Sam tells Danielle, if things don't work out with Bert, like, I'm just really concerned about how the whole family's gonna feel, how the kids are gonna feel.
Right.
And Danielle's like, yeah, and did you also know that he wanted to have more kids with Bert? And Sam looks at her like, bitch, are you crazy?
we're finding out that that's part of the scam. It's the fact that he just wants as many, the thing is, he's not going to stop at one wife. They've already talked about that. He wants as many kids around. He wants to be swimming in kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kink for him. And getting there, he doesn't really care about. He just wants the kids part. Ugh.
He doesn't even care about the two kids he has now.
Nope.
He does not give a shit about them. Not a shit. Oh my, it's really shocking. It's almost like Cody Brown. Like, Bert is Robin, and he wants to start a new life with her and their kids, and whatever kid's going to be the new Solomon and Ariella or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Don't even do Bert like that. I'm not a fan, but don't say anybody's the new, because there is only one Robin.
There's only one.
Oh, Lord, and she banned. She is awful.
What? I'm so excited for Sister Wives to come back. You have no idea.
Oh, I wasn't in totally, and someone who I trust, a listener, and they're like, start at the beginning. First season is a little slow, but you'll get caught up. And it is so riveting. I can't, it is all of humanity's relationships in four people.
Right.
And I'm obsessed. I'm so proud of Christine. I cannot tell you how proud of her I am.
Thrilled. Thrilled.
She has
that rice pudding all to herself now.
I know. All of it. And I love their her trans kid. And I think one other has an LGBT kid too.
No, it's also her.
It's also her. Of course it is.
Gwen, I think, is bisexual.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah, we stan. And the young one is a real Harry Potter stan. So, you know, there's a lot of things happening in that family.
Wow. Good for them. Good for them.
Oh, my gosh. Back to this whole situation. So, Sam is like, okay, have you considered that it might be really difficult if Garrick has a child in a whole other country and how that might affect the family that he already has? And she's like, huh, I didn't.
Now that you say it.
That does seem like it would be an issue, wouldn't it?
That seems inconvenient.
Yeah, I guess he might want to move down there and... Maybe I should talk about that. It's like, yeah, girl, how did you guys not think about this before? How did we not get here? I am constantly thinking about things all the time. And yet, these people are just like head empty, nothing but vibes. And I don't get it. I don't get it.
No, it's really weird. I think it comes from being religious. Because there's a certain thing that you just kind of take away, and you take things off the table, and you're like, sense. God'll figure it out. God'll figure it out.
Who cares about common sense?
Exactly.
God's God, right?
Totally.
So Large Wife is now like, okay, I guess I should talk to my husband about the logistics of him having another child in a different country. So they meet up in the kitchen, and Garrick's outfit is like a limited two skinny jean and some top that he got from a Renaissance fair.
It does. I would say it was very Robin Hood, Prince in tights or Men in tights.
For sure.
Prince of Thieves.
Are those Bert's jeans? Be honest.
Had to be. Yeah. These are, right? I think they're very structure sale. you know, when they do the box sales now it's Express. We always say that structure is every gay man's gateway to fashion. structure and Express, because it's like, oh man, they have interesting t-shirts and cool colors, but you're still straight.
Right.
I promise I'm straight.
Right. I got you. That makes sense. Oh my gosh. So they sit down. I don't know how his jeans didn't pop in the process, but they sit down to have this conversation, and she's like, you know what? I talked to my brother, Sam, and I think we should talk about some things. So she's like, well, you remember how you wanted to try for a baby? And he's like, yeah, that's literally all I think about all the time. I do remember. I think maybe we should wait. And he looks at her like,
this is scary.
He says, what are 3 or 4 weeks going to matter? You know, and I would just like get, Danielle says, I would just get more peace knowing if Bert was actually here in the country
right.
altogether. And so he's like, well, I think it sounds like your brother's coming from a place of fear that she's not going to come. And she's like, yeah, me too.
Yeah, because it is scary.
The completely legitimate fear? Yeah, I think he might have that. So then Danielle says in an interview, like, going into this trip and thinking that it's a good idea to impregnate somebody seems chaotic right. to her.
I have doubts. I have doubts. Like Meryl Streep at the end of that movie.
So Joel, by the way, who keeps mouth breathing, I'm not sure if he's like congested or something.
No, but he can't close his mouth like a caroler. It is those caroler statues. He cannot close his mouth.
Gotta be. He's like, well, Danielle's trying to explain how hurtful it would be if Bert decided not to come after all this time. And he's like, well, that just isn't logical. I was like, well, your logic is nothing. That means nothing to me. Okay.
You bringing logic into all this is rich. Right. you saying that's not logical.
Right.
Oh my God. It's I think I screamed at that point when he said logical. I just screech at my television the entire time this show's on.
Right. Yeah. Because what is logical to him is that if Bert doesn't come, they're like playing by Fast and the Furious rules. Like, we're family. We've always going to be family. She's going to be my family forever. And so like, what, Bert, like, if I don't.
And we're going to have tons and tons of sequels. Don't worry. Yeah.
Too Fast, Too Furious.
Too Fast, Love Furious, Live Hard.
So he's like, well, what? Is she not allowed to have a child? Is she still in Brazil? I'm just like, she can do whatever the fuck she wants. You're not really her husband. She could totally find another man. And yeah, it doesn't matter. None of this really matters. So Danielle tries to reason with Garrick about how big of a deal it would be for her to have her children in an entirely different country, but he's like, what, is she going to have to wait another 5 years to have a kid? So we find out that if basically Bert doesn't take this opportunity to go, it's going to be another 5 years before they can apply for another visa for her.
Right. That's so weird.
Yeah. And on top of that, the likelihood of her getting accepted is going to be lower because they're going to want to wonder why she didn't go in the first place, like right. the first time. So they're really in a situation. So Joel keeps continuing to talk around the fact that Bert is his real wife and the person that he really wants to have a relationship with. And he's like, yeah, I guess it would be hard to be away from her and the kids for part of the year. And then I'm like, oh, okay, so you're planning on being there full time and then maybe shooting up to Colorado occasionally for like the holidays or something. So Joel says that he's going to have a talk with Bert about all of this stuff. And Danielle just stares at him like, I'm just so shocked. She's so shocked. He has no concept of the fact that like him having an additional child is going to make her life so much more difficult.
Yeah. No, this is what the anger translator would be really helpful right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So she's like, I'm just so shocked. She's standing in the confessional crying. And
tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Finally, I feel like Danielle starts to get it. And she's like, so is he going to try to give up his life with us and just stay in Brazil? Like, what is he thinking?
It doesn't matter as long as he can have more kids.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
It's fucked.
And she's like, you know, there are some things that we can do from Brazil, but not everything. And it's like, first of all, I don't think you were invited to Brazil. So you don't have to worry about that, ma'am.
Your invitation got lost in the mail, honey. You're not going. Bert doesn't want you there either.
No ticket for you. Okay.
No. It's so easier when you're not in the bed for us to fuck.
Truthfully. Oh my God. The fact that they're going to have to share a bedroom is so funny. And I'm saying this.
It is so creepy. That whole, and Nick and Wilson Phillips, I'm stealing that. That like communal bed thing. And when they're bringing other people, y'all, I barely like sleeping in the bed with one other person. Like, really? I will tolerate that in a relationship. Three people in a bed?
No.
And it's not like a Willy Wonka situation. They're not just sitting up there.
Yeah, we're not doing like head to toe.
No. You're like you're like four people hot. Can you imagine how hot that fucking is?
Can you imagine being in the middle of that? In the middle.
Fuck that. No.
I already run hot when I sleep. I cannot imagine.
Too.
I can't imagine.
If I'm sleeping with someone, I'm single, but I do occasionally have to let them sleep over. Mm-hmm. Buy me breakfast. But like if it's during the night and I'm awake and they're like grabbing onto me, I'm like, get the fuck off of me.
Get off.
And because I'm already hot. And right. I'll cuddle with you in the morning.
Yeah, the cuddling is for like the first 20 minutes when you guys
Thank
are
you.
To bed, and then we separate, okay?
Get the fuck off of me.
I am with you.
Or I will kick you, really? And I won't feel bad about it.
That's on you.
That's on you. Get your fucking arm off of me.
Oh my gosh. So before they leave for Brazil, they decide to FaceTime Roberta. Just to make sure they're all on the same page. Spoiler alert, they're not. So Garrett talks about hoping that they can see Bert's mom on the trip because they met her once like a year ago in Mexico.
Yeah.
Was that when they were all filming?
I don't think we met her. I don't remember that being filmed.
Okay. This has been a
because
separate trip.
I would have remembered that person who looks like the girl gremlin. A little bit. I think I would have remembered mom.
Oh my God. Oh my gosh. Okay. So she's like, yeah, I'm really hoping that you guys can see her too and have a conversation. But the translator just goes to shit. So they're trying to
It's very much a for people who watch 90 Day Fiancé, it's very much a Devin Jihoon situation of a translator.
Oh my God, yes.
That just, oh fuck, it just stops working.
Their translator was the best one in all of 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh god, that translator provided so much hilarity. Oh.
truly, we're never gonna have an impact like that again.
No, the Camelot is over. the days of terrible translators are over, unfortunately, and we're treated to influencers like Gibberish and Miona and Gibberish.
We're gonna talk about them in a second because
yes, please.
So before we finish with Seeking Sister Wives, Danielle says in a confessional that she feels like Bert's mom's really going to have a difficult time handling Bert moving to America. She feels like Bert might be all her mom has, and that's going to be a difficult transition. Do you feel like Bert might be kind of wanting to get her mom in on this situation too?
Totally. It's a scam.
Yeah.
It's a scam. It's actually been a quite good long con. I've got to give him that.
She's played it real well.
Yeah. I must say that the adult braces, the look, the I don't understand what you just said, well played. Maybe Bert is the Julianne Moore of our time of polygamy.
See, I was going to say Kate Middleton. Like, she's planted the
that's
seed.
Better, yes.
She's waited. She's invested, for sure. And she's going to get a return on that investment.
I agree.
So the episode ends with Bert saying, you know, that basically the phone call, with Danielle saying that the phone call really didn't reassure her of anything. And she really wants to think the best of Bert. And I really love this. Like, we've not seen anything but like overwhelming I love you sister, I love you sister out of Danny.
No.
And this is like, she's really like, okay, we're getting down to crunch time and I'm not feeling good.
No, no, no. And she'll say things like, yeah, I love you. Can't wait to see you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you
it's...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I pray for a time where Danielle sometimes finds strength and tells him off. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but we're all waiting. Since their first season, we've all been waiting with bated breath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For her to finally explode, and that it'll be a real sweet treat if it happens. Ugh.
And his face, can you just imagine? His eyes will get so big.
The breath coming out of his mouth, it's going to be so hot.
Yes.
So, as a 90-day expert, I'm looking for you to give me a little bit of an update, because I started this season, but I've...
Oh, it's terrible, Kara. It's terrible. This season's awful.
I hopped out a few episodes ago, so at least I know what's going on with Emily. I know she got knocked up again. Poor Kobe. And
oh, COVID. God.
Baby COVID.
Baby COVID. 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 It's what? The way they say it. It really does sound like baby COVID.
Like, why didn't they consider that?
Well, we say, y'all, you got to field test your names. You can't just decide to name your child something. I brought up the example of, I love the name Rubella. It's Rue is my mother's name. Bella is a beautiful name.
Right.
But then you get a doctor friend, they're like, Rubella is a disease. Oh, thank you. I'm so glad I did not name my little girl Rubella.
Right.
One of her friends would have said COVID sounds like COVID, or COVID sounds like COVID.
Immediately. This is why you guys have to have good friends. And that's why I know Emily doesn't have friends.
Doesn't have friends at all. Nope.
At all. And I don't like her parents. I don't like this idea of like, we really need to get Kobe to do something. And it's like, bro, you knew what the situation was. I hate when these men come from other countries and the parents act like they have no idea that they are legally obligated to take care of these people before, you know, they get all their papers and stuff. They act like these people are supposed to get a job in 2 days when they legally cannot do it. Like, what are we doing?
No, everyone is like, it's like, no one's read. It's like we're playing the game, but no one's read the rules every single time.
Right.
It's a trope of the show that is always there. And it seemed to make sense in earlier seasons because we focused on these smaller insular communities like in Ohio or Illinois, where people's like, she just here for a green card. And you would definitely expect like Billy Bob with a Harley Davidson hat to say that.
Mm-hmm.
But after we get into places, these people, mom and dad seem like educated. They're not rednecks. So it feels like it's a stretch for these people to turn into those people. But mm-hmm. They've proven themselves just to be like small-minded xenophobic idiots.
Completely. And, okay, so that has not changed, what I'm hearing. Okay.
No, she hasn't changed since the first time she showed up, when she demanded that he spend the night boning her before they go see their son who he's never seen.
No, like that was truly shocking. Like, I dug into the Victoria's Secret bucket, so you better be happy, sir. I got the 5 panties.
And the funniest thing is that those panties were a sample. That was not something that you were going to wear later that night. Let's be honest, honey. Those were not something that were going on your body.
No, never, never, no. Okay, so what's going on with Jabri and Miona? I hate his little friend from LMFAO, his little...
David?
I can stand him.
They are... I have a hard time with them. I think this is what happens for me. When I don't feel that things are being represented correctly, the stakes drop for me.
Yes.
So I care less. And no, I care less about them. I couldn't care less about who they are. And the parents, their wedding is about to happen in Joshua Tree. And the parents, of course, have been against it. And the parents have said they're not coming to the wedding. We're sorry, we're not coming to the wedding. And this is why I go, I don't believe this. Of course they're going to come to the wedding. Of course right. The parents are going to show up at the Joshua Tree wedding. We all know this. Do we really have to go through the exercise of it?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's one of the reasons why this season feels exhausting to me. Mm-hmm. There are couples who I care about, like Kara and Guillermo got married, and I really enjoyed them. and it was, she looked gorgeous, and others... Most of them, though, Ari and Beanie got married, and I was like, okay, sure.
I saw those pictures the other day, and, you know.
She looked awful. That makeup. I had a problem with her shoes, her sneak shoes, but it was mostly because the dress was formal and the venue was kind of formal, and I just didn't think they jived. He kind of looked like he was in Vegas. It didn't work. I wish them all luck.
I know that Ariella has seen all manner of comments about her forehead, so it was beyond me why she decided to put a headband on for her wedding.
No, yeah, it's and the makeup, the less said, the better. And I was kind of, even Muhammad had been our big mm-hmm. story, just mm-hmm. because it's come out that he is completely like. Openly looking for another sponsor in texts.
Yeah, fill me in on this because I saw a screenshot, but I didn't look into it. So he was talking to people.
He was talking to other women during, and it's, this has not been, again, not been proven on sources like StarCasm yet, but the receipts are there, and it confirms something we all kind of knew. It's like, I've been talking with lots of other women. And his Coke bottle voice across a grave, and I find him one of the most ridiculous people who's been on so long, and like some of the things he says are awful and are so misogynistic and controlling, but it's the fact that he says them in his voice,
right?
It's hard for me to take that seriously.
Oh my God. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
Oh
my gosh. But yeah, they got married, and I don't know what's going to happen. I think probably some news in the next 2 weeks after the tell-all airs, we will get a good news dump about what's happened, because mm-hmm. the tell-all, we got one more episode, where Emily and Kobe are going to get married. That's going to be one of those weddings where it's like, baby girl Lisa and Usman, where everyone watching the wedding looks like they've eaten bad shrimp. no one wants it to happen, but we're there, and we have to watch it.
Yeah.
So Emily and Kobe are going to get married. Jabri and Miona and who else? Who else is getting married? Oh, Patrick and Thais, and someone else is getting married. People are screaming.
Patrick. Okay, so the Boston guy and that awful girlfriend of his,
Yes, it's, he, if there was any couple who I wanted to break up, it was those two, mm-hmm. because neither of them are ready for it.
Yeah, and you're not rooting for either of them.
Yeah, she's too young, because she's still under this kind of controlling thumb of her father.
Yeah.
He's not ready because he's got way too many things with his family to heal. And he's just had a divorce. And like she keeps saying he's controlling. I think he is controlling in the way that he doesn't give her tons of options. She's like, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And I think that's all just because it can barrel towards a conclusion. He's trying to make sure all the boxes are checked. Mm. And he doesn't want to leave anything to chance. So he's trying to like will this marriage to happen.
Right.
And it's just, do I think he's a bad guy? Not fully. I think she's kind of a princess. Mm-hmm. And that father is scary. She needs to get away from that father.
Yeah.
The father, got to call the father, as John was saying. But, yeah, I think, am I missing one couple? I think I am. I forget all the ones I don't like.
As you should. Let me ask you a question though. What are your thoughts on like currently the state of Bravo versus TLC?
Who are you? That's a good question.
Yeah.
I think TLC, with the advent of Discovery Plus, TLC is killing it. Mm-hmm. Bravo, we just stopped covering Southern Charm just because we were tired of the same story arcs.
Yeah.
And the same disappointing, clumsy conversations about race that production was seemingly trying to initiate. And we were just like, this is cringe. We can't do it.
Yeah.
And also, Craig is the only person we like anymore. And
isn't that a shame?
Yes, because Shep and Austin are fucking gross.
They're so gross, but I am enjoying how jealous Austin is.
Oh my God, him and Shep both. They're ridiculously jealous. It's palpable.
They cannot handle it. It's so funny to me.
I think Bravo is doing great with the new girls trips. I think that's a gold mine for them. I think that the Housewives will continue for as long as they need to. I think Dubai was a huge misstep. I watched 3 episodes and I was bored.
Same.
Yeah, and bringing back old Housewives will help. Not saying they're old. I'm saying former seasons. But most of them are old. but like, I think New York will continue. I think, and I think Salt Lake City will continue, which is my favorite.
Okay.
Mostly because it was the one I kind of started, because I haven't been a Housewives person for forever, like everybody else has.
Yeah. You're always dear to your first, your first time is always. Yeah.
Your first time, you always remember, might not be the best, but you always remember it.
Do you think, because I feel like this is a bit of a hot take, I personally feel like next season is going to be sorely missing Mary Cosby and the chaos.
Oh my God. Too much. So much.
Yeah.
And Jen Shah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very excited to see how the season ends up, but I'm going to miss Mary, and that's just my truth.
Well, Mary always brought... Not just a little eccentric. She brought full on Looney Tunes.
For sure.
And we will, y'all, you will always remember where you were when you heard the phrase, "You smell like hospital."
Exactly.
You'll never forget that.
You can't come back from that. We're all
and everyone knows because... what that is.
Yeah.
And everyone and Mary's outfits and her wubba wubba that she basically said one time, and Matt, my co-host, does an impression of her we talk about also who else is gonna fuck their step grandfather. I mean,
hopefully nobody.
it's probably better that way.
Let's leave that to Mary.
Yeah.
But with that, thank you so much for coming on here.
This has been so lovely.
So lovely. I can't imagine that people don't know where to find you, but let them know if they don't.
Sure. You can find us at Reality Gaze. You can find me and Maddie. You can find us on Instagram at Reality Gaze Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Reality Gaze Pod, and on the TikTok, as the kids are fond of saying, at Reality Gaze. And we're going to keep your eyes peeled for our fall tour that's going to start in September, October. We're still coming up with names for that. But yeah, if you don't know us, we do 90 Day Fiancé, and we do Below Deck too, and some Summer House.
Do I need to get back into Below Deck? Because I did that.
BDM, Below Deck Med, just raise the stakes.
Is this a Captain Sandy?
Yes.
Okay.
This is she's losing her brain because there's all different department heads now. And last season was a snooze. Below Deck Down Under is actually really good too, but last season of the Below Deck OG was awful. Sailing Yacht started out good, but really slowed. Last season was a bad, last year and a half wasn't good for Below Deck. We almost dipped out.
Because I started with Sailing Yacht, and so I like Captain Glenn is really my man.
Oh, I love him.
He's really lovely. Tell me, is this the current season of Mediterranean, the one where the girl was saying that she's Latina, but then they're like, "Are you actually Latina?" And she's like, "No, I'm from Poland."
Yeah, that's Magda.
Okay.
She actually said, she's like, "Oh, you know, like it's my inner Latina," and they're like, but you're not. She's like, yeah, but I'm kind of saying I do. Yeah. Y'all, the polls, I don't think polls have race relations haven't gone to Poland yet.
I suspect not.
They haven't made it there. She's a moron, though. She's not going to last long.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'm going to hop back in.
So. Yeah, it's great. Also, I must ask you, because I think you would totally love this show if you love trash. Mm-hmm. You must watch Love After Lockup.
Oh, I do. That is like my secret show. It's my secret show that I watch to myself. I used to recap it, but yeah, it's so... Ooh, it's like the white refrigerator of reality TV shows. It's like...
that's great. It is so wonderful. This season, this new season of Life After Lockup is a little bit producer massaged, but in such a great way. And we're thoroughly excited. If you, if you're around, we will totally love to have you on to talk about it sometime.
I would love to.
Because it is a true joy to recap. Yeah. You never, it's a joy to watch. I would actually say 90 days.
You never know which way you're going to end up. And wow. Always in the gutter. So
this has been so fun talking about trash with you. Just
so much.
We're like two eager raccoons just picking through it.
I loved it. And I know the people are going to love it too. Literally, I was getting tweets as we were talking, like, holy shit, I just heard he was going to be on your podcast. I'm so excited. So
yay. All right. This was so fun. We'll talk about it on our show too.
Yes. Have a good one. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kara.
Bye.